Good morning, everybody. If you please stand, we'll have a congregational hymn, number 189. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste a day when my faith shall be signed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Like that song. Hey, that was good singing this morning. I enjoyed that. I even heard Chris sing a little bit. It's good to be back. It's hard to believe that The day before yesterday, I was sitting in Africa, and just like that, you're back home again. Brother Matt, can we show a little bit here in just a minute? So we're just going to give you an update really quick, and I know that there's still some folks in our church that are still battling with COVID. You know, it's kind of a little sombering thing to realize it's just not an American issue. It's a global-wide issue. I've had 4 COVID tests in less than 2 weeks, you know, negative every one of them. You know, now, not only did I have to have a COVID test to go to Zambia, I had a COVID test to leave Zambia. You know, I'm becoming a pro at taking those things, but it shows you that it's a worldwide problem. Let me play this for you real quick.
Hey, good morning from Zambia, Africa. Miss being there with you guys today, and praying that God will work in the services, and you got 2 good preachers for today. Looking forward to how God's going to work in there. Just want to give you an update. These are 4 kids that came to us yesterday. The police called Pastor Ackham and asked if we could help. Their mom, it has been arrested, and for the last 3 days, these kids have been sleeping in a jail cell with their mom, and she's not going to get out for a while, and they asked us if we could take them and allow them to stay with us while things work out with their mom. So because we have an orphanage here in a place, these little kids are in a place of safety. Can you imagine? Now, they don't speak any English, so they don't know what I'm saying, but can you imagine what it would be like to be in a jail cell and how scary that would be, and then be taken to another place where you know nobody? But here is the love of Christ. Here they'll be taken care of and given attention, and they're going to know that somebody loves them and somebody cares about them. And church, I just want to thank you. Thank you for allowing things like this to happen and showing the love of Christ. You know, God's blessed us in America. You know, our kids don't have to do this. And it's just a blessing and an opportunity to be able to get these kids a safe refuge the way God gave us a safe refuge in Christ. Okay, we love you guys. Keep praying for Pastor Ackham. He's not feeling really good. Okay, guys, have a good day.
And that was...
All right, here...
That's fine. You can go ahead and play this, and I'll tell you about that one.
Here we go. One more try. One more try to get the tank up.
Believe me, you have no idea the chaos. That took 3 hours to get that thing up. I mean, we tried. We hooked the car to it. I got a little bit nervous because of angular momentum. I didn't know if I could pull that tower over. And then it started thundering and lightning with people standing on that. And I'm trying to tell them, hey, be careful, you know, you could get... But when I left, they had got it up there.
All right, here we go. One more try.
Stood it back up again.
One more try to get the tank up.
We can go on to another video, Matt. This is the same one. So if you can find that audio up there from Pastor Ackerman.
Hey.
Sorry.
I was in the middle of doing something, so I'll respond. Thank you so much, otherwise, for bringing me in this hospital. There's much improvement with me. I know I'm out of danger. Though it will take time for me to come out, I know I'll be good. So there is much, much improvement. And today I came out, I walked around, I just come inside, then hooked up myself back. I'm above 90, so looking like we're on the right direction. So still here and there, but it's a way to go. No matter how long it will take, the Lord has still give me grace. Who knows, allows me to go through this, so that I'll be an encouragement. On the sad note also, you know, Terry's father died. He was feeling the same. So sad about that. But the Lord is gracious to me. So thank you. Hope we have a good Sunday there tomorrow. Hope you have landed safely. And keep on praying for me as I'm praying for you.
So he is doing better, but guys, he was, you know, you think about God doesn't do random, and he honestly thought he had malaria. When I got there on Wednesday, he wasn't feeling very good. He was he laid in the car while we were doing some shopping, but I mean, malaria is a real issue there, so he just thought it was malaria, and I didn't question it until day number three when his wife told me he couldn't breathe, and that's when I realized, whoa, you know, and he would have just continued, because malaria kills people, and it kind of acts like COVID up to a certain point. And when we got him in the hospital, just to let you know about how different it is, the government passed a law that the only hospitals that can see COVID patients are government hospitals, and they were full. But there was one hospital that got a pass, had one bed open. And I talked to Greg, and he gave me some advice. The first place I went to, I told him I thought Ackham had COVID, and that door got closed like you wouldn't believe. So the next one, Greg said, don't tell him that. And I said, okay. You know, and the Lord blessed that advice. The next, I mean, it wasn't 20 minutes into it when I'm sure they realized the obvious, but they helped us. And that doctor got on the phone and found us the only hospital with one bed. That was it. And we got him in the house. He's still in the hospital. He's on oxygen. He can maintain 90, 95. When he takes it off, he goes down. But he's turned a corner. Listen, you know, we need him, but none of us are replaceable, right? And it's all in God's hands. And I believe Zambia is starting to get hit by this. And I believe God's going to let Ackham walk through this so he can help other people walk through it. Because he's in a pay hospital that's not cheap and would not be able to go there if it wasn't for us. Think about the hundreds and thousands of people that live in little mud huts that when they can't breathe, nowhere to go. Right? And, you know, so we'll just have to pray for him and thank God we were able to help him. Those little kids are... Ben's church raised some money to buy all the kids in the orphanages bikes. So I went and bought 15 bikes. And they put them together already because I wanted nothing to do with putting a bike together. You know, well, when I was asking the kids in the orphanage, how many bikes do I need? The older kids in the orphanage stopped and they said, listen, can you get a bike for our new visitors that just came here? Because they didn't want to get a bike if those other little kids couldn't get a bike. So even though their mom's still in jail and I have no idea how long she's going to be, those kids were immediately adopted into a little family that knows what it's like to be an orphan, and they're just loving on each other, and that's super cool to have a part in that. Had a good church service. I don't have any time this morning. I had a good church service last Sunday, got to preach, and people went forward. It was exciting. But you know what? Now we're back in the States, and there's people around here hurting, and there's people around here that need the truth, and we've got the light in us. And what it's about this morning is we need God, we need the Word, we need to be encouraged, and I'm glad we have a Bible we can gather around. Brother Ron.
All right, everybody, please stand, grab a hymn book, and turn to page 113. Our brother deacons come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Michael, would you ask a blessing on offering, please? Amen. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear, for he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. All he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Number four. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus has power, Jesus is true. All who believed are safe from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. All right, thank you. Make me see.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place. And I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus brought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
You know, God's in heaven, and we're waiting for the day he comes back and gets us. I mean, I know he's real. And I mean, anybody said, well, how do I know that he's real? Because he lives within me. And maybe sometimes, I mean, can you make things happen in your mind that really are not true? I suppose. But I think because I know I am saved, I always try in this dark world to see if I can't, you know, God's working, right? I mean, even though he's in heaven, he's working every day. He's still in control. And this morning I was sitting in my car. I always come in a little bit early and just sit in the truck and just get my mind wrapped around this. And I was listening to that exact song. And I thought, boy, it would be good if we could sing that in church today. In fact, I was going to see if we could do it as a hymn, but we had a visitor I needed to talk to, so that slipped away from me. And I believe from what Chris was saying that those girls were not, they weren't going to sing that song this morning. They were going to sing it as well. Well, you know, Ronnie took care of that. And so they over there needed to find another song. Well, in the truck, you know, I was thinking, boy, I would like to hear that song this morning. Now, you can say, all right. Lets me know if he can do things like that. You know, I mean, there's no limit to who he is, and I'm glad that we can embrace that. I'm glad that this morning you're all coming like me. We're all a sinner saved by grace. We need the word of God. We need him, and I'm so thankful that, you know, he lives and he's in our heart, and those that don't know him can respond to that this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father, for the time that we'll be able to have in your word. Before we come before you, we always want to acknowledge the fact that you're holy. God, you know everything we've said, have done, and been a part of this last week. Lord, you know our sins and our shortcomings. Lord, you know whether there's things in our life that we haven't even dealt with yet. But Lord, we don't want to sit in front of you without recognizing the fact that you are holy, and ask this morning that our hearts would be open and clean before you. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for when we've sinned this week. Lord, the ones that maybe we weren't even aware of. But Lord, we want to do that because we want to honor your holiness. We don't want to take for granted or take lightly being able to gather with a holy God, and we're just sinners. Jesus, thank you for the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness. Lord, thank you that we have a home in heaven. And Father, I pray that you would help us today, that we need to hear from your word. Lord, that you'd reach down, and every person here is at a different spot in their life with a different need. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would go out. Lord, that it would not be of a man that help is found, but in God. Lord, because we're nobody without you. And Lord, I pray as we acknowledge that this morning, that your word would go forward and work in our hearts. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2, and I want you to look in verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmate. And we know the rest of that. Go down to chapter 3. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And you know, that story is as old as time. When you look at that story, which we've done several times, I want to focus on an element there that You know, the way the Bible put it, and especially since it was in that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the middle of a perfect garden, God placed a tree. There were trees all over the place, and just normal, everyday trees. Trees that were given, and you picked the fruit, and you ate the fruit, and it sustained life. They were all over the garden, but this tree in the middle of the garden, it was placed in the middle of the garden for a reason. That tree was not an ordinary tree. It wasn't a tree that made fruit like we would see a tree that made fruit. It was put in that garden because, and God said, if you eat of this tree, now think about it. Think about God and his sovereignty. He actually placed in a garden in a perfect society. Adam and Eve they were not born into sin like you and I. They were in a perfect environment, and God said, in the middle of this tree, you have freedom to run over this whole entire garden. You have freedom to live. I will take care of you. There's just one thing you need to listen to me about. The tree in the middle of that garden, don't eat of that tree. If you eat of that tree, the day that you eat of that tree, ye shall surely die. And God put that tree there in the middle of that garden on purpose. It was for a reason he put that there. And you in your mind would say, why would God put a tree like that there? If the potential of that tree was so dangerous, why would he not simply leave it out? Because when God gives direction, when God gives clear warning, it's as though the tree doesn't even exist if you simply obey him. You know, when he put that tree in the garden, he didn't just let him wander around and bump into it and eat it and go, boy, you shouldn't have done that. You know, he gave them prior warning to the tree. He gave them knowledge of that tree. He told them what would happen, and all they simply had to do was just listen to God, and the tree would become a non-entity. We just don't go to that tree. Why? Because God said don't go to that tree. Now, what did that tree have the ability to do? See, that tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in our world today, there's all kinds of forces that we cannot see. One of the ones we learn about in school is gravity. And Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein and all these things that they came up with gravity. We cannot see gravity. You couldn't put gravity in a bottle. You know, because there is a creator, because there was somebody who made the universe is governed by the laws of its creator. And because it is structured, and because he did make it, God does allow man to unravel some of those mysteries. And that's in those laws that we discover, that he lets us discover, once we understand those laws, once we understand the forces behind it, that's how we're able. You ever thought about this? How did you go to the moon? I mean, I've been with carpenters and even Wendell in Africa, you know. Even somebody like Wendell who can cut a board perfect every time, every once in a while you measure something wrong. How do they know how far away the moon is? If sometimes we measure a 2x4 wrong. They were able to do that because of the forces at play that govern the universe that God put in place. Once we know them and we know how they work, we can make those calculations to even know how far the moon is. But when you go back to gravity, here's something we have to understand about gravity. It affects you and I every single day. I mean, the fact, it's working on your body right now. And the older you get, the more you're aware of that. Gravity starts taking over. All right? Now, gravity is something that can be overcome. It's always pulling you down, but if you can meet its power with a greater power, you can actually outpower gravity. And to prove that to you, yesterday I was in Zambia, today I am at home. You can't do that in a boat, but you can do it in an airplane. And that airplane has to exert an awful amount, a lot of energy to be able to overpower gravity for the 17-some-hour flight home. And then as that power lets go and he pulls the throttle back on that airplane, we gently go back down to the earth. But I was able to fly all that way because there was a power greater than gravity going on at that very same moment. Well, when you think about the forces of good and evil, they have always been.
Evil did not get created in the Garden of Eden simply by Eve eating that fruit. It is a force that's always been there. And if you'll notice, when they ate of the fruit, here's what God said. God said, they have now become like us. God has always known good and evil. But the reason why evil has not affected God is the power of God and the goodness of God is greater than the forces of evil. But it is a force, and it does pull on everything that's out there. It is a real force that God already knew about. He was already aware of good and evil. And when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, he said, on that day, they have become like us. Here's the problem, Greg. We don't have the power that God has. Evil on us is toxic. We don't have the power that he has to be able to overcome it on our own. On that day, that drug us into an eternity in hell forever and ever as those forces of evil were at play in our life. That disobedience against God had real life consequences. Not only that, every day from that day forward, every human being has been under the forces of evil. They are at play in your life every day. They pull on you every single day. They hold you down. They get into your life. They begin to pull you away from the things of God. It is a, do you believe in gravity? Right? Now, I can't. I can just show you the effects of gravity. May I tell you something? The force of evil is something you cannot see, but I can tell you something. Out on these streets and across this world, I can show you some stories that will make you want to throw up when you see what evil will do to a human being. There's no denying that it is a real force. It is no denying what it does to humanity. It is no denying the fact that we need to be very vigilant and very, very careful with the fact that force is there every single day. It is something that when Eve said that tree and the devil said, listen, this tree will make you wise. You will know now. You will know the knowledge of good and evil. If you never knew what a swear word was, could you swear? No. Right? I mean, you couldn't say a bad word if you never knew what a bad word was. Right? You could never lie if you didn't know what a lie was. You wouldn't be angry if you didn't know what anger was. You wouldn't know. See, at that moment, Eve and Adam, they couldn't do those things because all they knew was good. But then all of a sudden, downloaded, when the moment they ate that tree, was a library of darkness that now they were aware of. And at that moment, now there's, before that in their life, they only knew the goodness of God. They only knew God coming down from heaven every day and walking with them. Their minds were pure. They didn't have what the evil is out there. But on that day, there was a knowledge that God put that tree in the garden because of free will. But his intent was, he never wanted them to eat it. Because, you know what? We didn't have to. Do you know, just like today, nobody has to go to hell. Because you have the truth. God's saying to them, don't eat that tree, was just as good as a tree not being there. All they had to do was listen to him. That's it. Him saying that was just as good as it just not being there. Now, one day you're going to have to ask God the question, why? But listen, free will is very important to him. That's why he put that tree there. He knew what that tree was. He knew what it would do to them. But he also told them, don't eat it. They also had a choice to just walk away. Eve was just not helped. She could have just said no, because God said, don't eat it. But the moment she did, man, I mean, she drug all, her and Adam drug all humanity with her. Now, with that said, I just want to look a little bit at this morning. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. So that force began to play there and continues to play today. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want you to show you something that I found very interesting about this force of good and evil. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. The Bible says this. Actually, you'd need to go back up to verse 10. Let's do that. Thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and statutes which are written in the book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, for this a commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is far off. So God let him know what his word was. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us in heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do good. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day. Look at that wording. I have set before thee this day. I have put in the garden of Eden a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Look what he says. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes. You see, you have the very same thing in the Garden of Eden right here. Brother Lloyd, he's saying, I set before you today. Today there's a choice. There's life and death, and then there is good. That is before you. There's life and there's death. I've set before you a choice, an option. You can either listen to the word that I made available to you. It's not locked up in heaven. It's not across the oceans where you can't get it. It is in your heart. It is available to you. You have knowledge of that today, but I set it before you, the one. It's in front of you. You have that choice. There's life and there's death. It's in front of you right now. You decide what you're going to choose. You decide what you're going to do. It's like the choice is all over again. You know, Adam and Eve, they had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Today, God sits in front of you, the same choice. You can either listen to his word or you can reject his word. You can either receive him as your Savior or you can reject him. Today, when evil is present out there, you can either say no to sin or you can either say yes to sin. Because Christ, we're not helpless. Because Christ, we're not robots going through the system. You know, because of Christ, we have a choice. Because of Christ, there is a power out there, guys, that is greater than the power of evil. Just like I can get in an airplane and they can apply enough gas and enough engine to where that airplane leaves the gravitational pull of this planet and flies all that way. There is a force in Christ that's greater than the force in evil, and you can rise above it. We are not helpless. And may I tell you something? One day the astronauts have experienced something that we can't do. They know what it's like to be in zero gravity. May I tell you something? One day, Greg, there is a power not only that can help us rise above the forces of evil, but is going to take us to a place where evil is not around. Those astronauts inside of that space shuttle, you see them floating, trying to drink water. You know what? They're in a place where there's no gravity. There's nothing resisting them. Their movements are easier. May I tell you something? There's a place where evil does not exist. There is a place that when we get there, we are no longer subject to the power of evil and the pull that it has on our life every single day. That there is a source that is greater than evil, and that is the love of God sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross and pay for our sins. And the reason why, as a God, that evil's never, never, ever penetrated heaven. You know what the Bible says about God? That he is light and there is no darkness in him. He overpowers the darkness because he is light. Yes, we are weak to evil and we give in to evil. We don't have the power to escape evil on our own. But there is a power greater than evil, and that is God. And he can in our lives allow us to rise above that and hope for the day when we experience zero evil. Can you imagine living in a place where that does not exist? Can you imagine living in a place where you never, ever have to ask for forgiveness again? Can you imagine living in a place where you will do nothing wrong because evil just does not exist? He's removed it. But you know what? We're not helpless down here. And here, he said, hey, there was a choice right here. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39. Let me show you this, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39. So verse 38. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So they were in the wilderness for 40 years, and now Moses is dead, and they're going to go, and they're going to take on the land of Canaan. Listen to this in verse 39. I found this very fascinating. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day, look at this, had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither and say unto them, I will give it, and they shall possess it. I found this very interesting. Everybody is born a sinner. But when you take that little baby right there, or you take little Jack right there, you know what he does not have? Yes, he is still a sinner. Okay? But the knowledge of evil that he knows about is going to... Now, and when they're growing up, you know whose responsibility that is? How much evil they know about? It's us as parents. Number one responsibility. Do you know? Yes, they are born sinners. But they have something that's still pretty precious. They don't know it all yet. Right? It only has to do with how much garbage that they download, how much inventory in their mind that they know about. If you don't know it, you can't do it. Right? I mean, if I don't know what drugs is, if I don't know the darkness and the depth of evil, it's going to be a little bit harder for me to be able to be sucked into it, right? But then the world takes the innocency of our kids. We as parents have to guard that with all of our heart, and we have to tell them, yeah, there's an evil out there, an evil that you cannot stand against. It will drag your life to depths that you can't even imagine. So every day of your life, you should do everything you can to keep that library of evil as little as you possibly can, because if you don't know, you can't do it. See, the moment they knew, the options were off the chart. That's the reason why in Leviticus, God tells people things not to do that you wouldn't think you'd have to tell a person not to do. And it's material that's really not suitable with kids in the room to go through and tell you all the things that God says to another human being. You shouldn't do these things. Wait, I'm just assuming that you should know. But see, as they went on, God began to have to write his word and had to tell them, this is how you need to live. This is what you need to do. They had to have the knowledge of good to be able to overpower the knowledge of evil. But may I say something? One of the greatest things in the world is to keep our kids. As an adult, are there not things you want your children never have to go through that you went through? Are there things in your mind that you know about that you never want your children to know about? Do they have to taste how evil and dirty the world is to escape it? Absolutely not. They just need to know there is a force out there, and it is evil. And you avoid that force. You want to keep your mind. And because right here what he's saying is, these kids are different. They're not rebellious like you. Because they haven't grown up yet. They didn't make the mistakes that you've made. They don't know good and evil. Now they have it embedded in their life because they're sinners. But they have a lot less baggage. They have a lot less things they got to fight, because they didn't load up on the filth of this world. They didn't know all the dirty deeds of the world around them. They didn't know those things. When you look at a little mind, it comes blank. Yes, in their body is the result of a sin. But what they know and what they get into and how far they go in the deep darkness of sin has to do with what they do with the knowledge of good and evil. Because that force is at play even today, right now. And the more that you can guard your heart, and the more that you can keep that stuff out, the more that you can... Do you understand? There's things that some people think about that another person will never think about because they just didn't go down that particular road. Right? But once you go down that road, the devil sucks you in and tries to lure you and tries to put things out there, and you think, well, there's something out. But once you go down that road, yeah, there might be some freedom for a little bit of time. There might be some fun. But all of a sudden, you got this knowledge of evil. And now that will call your name every day. But if you just didn't know about it, it wouldn't bother you, right? And so that's what he's talking about. When you read something like that, he's saying, hey, your children, you know, You guys have made choices. You have let evil prevail. These kids, they actually got a chance. If they'll just follow me, I'll give them Canaan land. These guys, your children haven't walked in the depths of sin that you've walked in. They have a chance to listen to me. They have a chance to live for me. And as you continue to go through the Bible, I want you to go through to Isaiah chapter 5, if you would. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own ways. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and taketh away the righteous of the righteous. Listen to this. That taketh away the righteousness of the righteous. Do you understand that even the righteous people that follow God cannot stand in the face of evil? It will corrupt you. Because look what it says in the bottom of that verse. It says, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous. The moment you let off on that power, listen, your Christian life is a power source in God that will help you rise above this evil world. The moment you let that power diminish, the moment you let that power in Christ and your relation in Christ get weak, you know what happens? You start giving in to the forces of evil. Right? You've got to stay on the throttle. We can do it. We can rise above this evil, but you cannot do it in your own power. Man, you have to pray like it actually matters. You got to read the book like it actually holds to it. The key's alive. We got to be obedient to what our Father says, knowing that He's trying to keep us from the forces of evil. Yes, eternity, I am saved, I am going to heaven, but I am still subject to an evil world. I can still sin. I can still make wrong. It can still ruin my life. But thank God there is a power that as long as that thing, the throttle's maxed out, you know what we can do? We can get up here. We can escape what it does to us. But may I tell you something? You may think it's your ability. You may think that it might simply be because maybe you just have a better DNA than some people. You know, sin don't work that way. It's not a DNA issue in your... If you've been fortunate to miss the pain and hurt of sin, it has everything to do with the power source inside, which is God Almighty, and you listening to what He says, and you following and staying away from evil. He warns us, He guides us, He directs us, and He talks about it throughout the whole Bible. It is a real force, and He's talked about it right here. Go to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 15. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Now you've heard this verse before, it's very, very popular. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. We know who that was. And shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know how to refuse the good, how to refuse the evil and choose the good. That was our Savior, right? Jesus, because He was God, had the ability to choose the good and refuse the evil. I wasn't born like that. I was born a sinner. But because He's God, He knew to refuse the evil and choose the good. And He left this world in a way that no other person with a body has ever done. He left this world without ever sinning. And He's our leader. And I'm to follow Him. He knows the road. He knows the path to take, so that we can avoid those things. Chris, he knows how to choose the good and stay away from the evil. We have hope because He's already done it. And He's who we follow. It's like there's a minefield out there and He's got the map, guys. He knows where everyone is placed. And I just need to follow Him. And He'll say, hey, Dave, don't walk there. Hey, Dave, don't have that friend. hey, Dave, maybe you shouldn't put that in your head. Hey, Dave, maybe you shouldn't look at that. Hey, Dave, maybe that's not the right friend. Listen, that's not who you need to marry. Hey, that's not the job that you need to have. You know what he's doing, Greg? He knows where they are. He knows the path that I need to take. And he knows how to choose good and to reject the evil. You know what? I don't have that ability, but he does. I need to be locked on him. I need to be walking with him. Man, he's going that way and I'm over here. And guess what's going to happen? I then now have to navigate that. And I'm going to step on a minefield for sure because I can't do that. But he can. And you just see over and over throughout the Bible these things that we read where this force is always at play. I want you to go in closing to Romans chapter 7 and verse 19. Romans chapter 7 and verse 19. And I'm going to have to end here. I've got a lot of other places we can look at. I just don't have time. Romans chapter 7 and verse 19. Let's see if I can get there. Romans chapter 7 and verse 19. Oh, that's Acts. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 19. Or verse 16. Well, 15 is probably a better place. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. We're familiar with Paul saying this before. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Listen to this. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Okay? For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Look at verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Look at this, verse 21. I find then a law, that when I do good, evil is always present with me. You know, just like the law of gravity, he said, I've discovered this law. He said, I discovered that every time I do good, there's another force always at play trying to drag me back down again. You notice he said, I noticed this law that's always going to be there. But you know something else? There's another one. You overcome evil with good. Right? It talks about that in the Bible. It says, you overcome evil with good. So there is a power source greater than evil, and it's God. Yes, that law is always there. It is a law that is much older than you and I. It is that God already knew the difference between good and evil. The devil already knew the difference in good and evil. It was already out there in the universe before God ever put man on this planet. And when he put that tree in there, he did not want us to ever have to know that. But he also didn't want robots either. He gave man a choice. And on that day, unfortunately, unlocked the library of sin and darkness that the world's been trying to forget it ever since. I now know good and evil. But thank God for good. The power that's in Christ can overcome any evil. That's the reason why last Sunday night you saw a missionary who was in jail for selling drugs, who now smuggles Bibles. You know what you saw? You saw a darkness that sucked a man's life away. And everybody else marked him off as no good. And then there was a power that came in that was greater than the evil inside of that man. And he's had to throttle down ever since. And what you see is what happens when somebody, when one of us, thank God for the power of Jesus Christ. Thank God for forgiveness of sin. Thank God that we don't have to let the world suck us back down to where it's at. We can go above that, but it's only through Christ. May I tell you something? Stay away from evil. It's on every corner. It's in our society. It's in our government. Listen, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who's in that White House. That will never, ever, ever be our source of hope. It will always be Christ. And we live in an evil world. But thank God. When I got saved, I tapped into a power source that they can stand in the face of that and rise above it. That's what he wants for me and you. So, dear friend, fellow sinner like me, there is hope for us. Hate the evil and love the good. Gravitate toward, look around for it. Isolate yourself, put up walls, put up barriers, get new friends, stay faithful to Christ, stay faithful to church, stay in your word. And you know what you'll find? You'll find little by little. You know, even the rocket, when you watch that rocket lift off, does it not seem like that rocket is moving like that much when it takes off? It seems like it's just struggling like crazy to leave this Earth's gravity, and the power that's being spent to get it above that, the power that was spent to get you away from the forces of evil, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, woo-hoo! We're soaring to greater heights. Man, wrap your arms around that. There is hope for me and you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you leave this world having never, ever accepted Christ as your Savior, then you have no relief. You have no way to rise above this evil. It will dominate your life. It'll take you straight to hell. But that'll be you, not God. Because he already said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this journey through this power that's been out there. Lord, it's as old as time. Light versus darkness, good versus evil. The forces are evil, are real. Lord, we only know the edges of it. But Lord, you know the darkness of it. Lord, it's that darkness of evil, the pain that it causes, compelled you to love us so much you did not want to see us fall under that curse forever. Lord, thank you for jumping into my life. Thank you for jumping into this world. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cross and offer hope to a whole world, a power that is greater than my sin, a power that is greater than my mistakes. It's the love of Christ dying for my sin. And Jesus, I just want to thank you for that. Lord, help us to understand as Christians, we are not helpless, that we can rise above the forces of evil, but only through you. Lord, maybe we need to be a little bit more careful about the things that our kids are exposed to. Help them to guard their mind and their heart, to keep the innocency, Lord, that you intended in the beginning. Evil will come, but Lord, they don't have to digest the whole entire book of it. And Lord, I pray that our young people will do something that I cannot do, because that's over for me. Guard their heart, guard their mind, be very careful about the evil they let in. And on every way, put up hedges and protection. But Lord, even those of us that have a past can rest assured that there is still a power greater than our past, and that's the forgiveness of sin, and that's the restoring of life every day. Lord, the renewing of our mind in Christ Jesus, and I want to thank you, Father, for that. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that does not know you this morning, that you would help them. Lord, help them to reach out to you and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and just take a moment. We're going to have an invitation, and I always know that that's a struggle, because I've sat in church services before and knowing that I should probably go for it, but then I don't, because you're worried about what somebody's, that's just human.